We have here our guest for today, Dr. John Ashton. He is with us to talk about his book, The Chocolate Diet. How do we chocolate and feel great about it? Good morning to you, Dr. John.
Oh, good morning.
It's great to have you here. Tell us a little bit about this chocolate diet. Look, the book is, the cover is very enticing. There's a fork piercing through a strawberry that is dipped in chocolate. So a lot of people are wondering, what is this diet like? You just eat all the chocolate you want and you get skinny, or how does it work?
Yes, well, the title certainly, I think, misrepresents the book, but that was the title that the publisher chose. Yes, okay, and it is called The Chocolate Diet. The idea was, though, how can we genuinely do something in our diet, make a lifestyle change that isn't too drastic that can help us lose weight? And the whole idea behind the book was that the polyphenols in chocolate, which are particular compounds in chocolate that are highly beneficial for us, can play an important role in weight loss in a number of ways. But most people like chocolate. And so the secret is that a little bit of chocolate, particularly dark chocolate, and I'm really talking about, you know, dark chocolate, 70% cocoa plus type chocolate.
Okay.
A small piece of that chocolate instead of a dessert will give you a much lower calorie intake. And so often people, when they finish meal, they feel like something sweet. But by just having one small piece of chocolate after a meal instead of that piece of apple pie or those couple of biscuits or some other dessert will in actual fact give you a lot less calories. And the same goes for morning tea, you know, the traditional thing where you have a beverage and a couple of biscuits. When you do the calculations, there's less calories in a small piece of dark chocolate than in a couple of biscuits. And so it's just based on the maths, really, from that perspective. But chocolate, and particularly the cocoa polyphenols have some interesting properties. So a study that was done in France where they took a cohort of women, from memory it was in the ages about 25 to 45, and they got them to smell some dark chocolate. They weren't allowed to eat it. They had to just smell
just
it.
Just smell it. What a
just
torture.
Smell it. Yeah. And what they found was that they ate less. So they were then allowed to go and have a meal and have whatever they wanted. And
really?
They ate less than the group of women who didn't smell the
what?
Chocolate beforehand. So that was quite an interesting finding. The other thing, of course, too, that has come out recently, that the cocoa polyphenols have, a lot of other benefits. They can, for example, help us lower our blood sugar, these sort of things. Possibly one of the best ways to get the cocoa polyphenols, though, is rather than eating a block of chocolate, which has some of the added cocoa butter added to it, so it does have the extra calories, is just to make yourself a drink using the cacao powder. So cacao powder is different to cocoa powder, which is treated, goes through a more high-temperature process. So cacao powder is just the raw chocolate powder with minimum heat treatment. And so the concentration of polyphenols in that is sort of slightly higher because less have been destroyed by heat. And just making a drink of take a heap teaspoon of the cacao powder, which you can buy in most supermarkets and health food shops, and then mix that with your favourite you can have it just with water or a little bit of oat milk. It makes a lovely chocolate drink, or however you want to have it, and maybe sweeten it with a little bit of honey. But the idea, again, is the cooler the temperature you can operate at, the better. And the same with honey. If you can make your drink and then cool it down and then add your honey, and, of course, ideally raw honey, you get the benefit as well a double benefit, because the cocoa will help, or the cacao will help with blood sugar control, and also honey itself is low glycemic index if it hasn't been heated too high. So honey has amazing properties as well.
That is amazing, Dr. John, because look, I'm a chocolate fan myself. I do enjoy chocolate, and I know that, you know, sometimes chocolate gets a really bad rep. But what you're saying here is that you're talking about like the higher concentration of cocoa, like 70% plus, or using like the raw cacao powder to make a drink. And one of the things that I've noticed in my life is that if I have a smoothie with, let's say, soy milk and banana and some cacao powder, cacao nibs, and I just like blend that, it does give you that it removes that craving for something sweet. And at the same time, it's something that is good for your body. But what about that idea of smelling cacao before meals? Is that something that people do to try to lose weight? Is that one of the tips?
Oh, no. No, that was just a scientific experiment that was done to where they were exploring some of the benefits.
Yeah,
so right. Obviously, if you're eating the cacao powder, you're going to be getting a much higher concentration of these polyphenols compared to just, you know, smelling them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but also there are effects, you know, on the brain as well. So the brain affects the release of certain hormones that control satiety, control hunger, and so forth. So obviously it seems that these polyphenols affected a response in the brain that helps, you know, control diet.
So what kind of chocolates actually are the villains, or should we avoid? Is there a thing? Because I'm sure that some of the chocolates are so full of fat and sugar that they're not going to help anyone too much in their weight loss, particularly if you're eating too much of them. So how should we choose a good chocolate? What are some of the pitfalls to avoid?
Yeah, so that's a very important question. So when we look at a high-quality chocolate, it will be a mixture of some cocoa butter, which is the natural fat that has been extracted from the chocolate. So they separate out the chocolate and the fat. And so this fat, actually, that comes in the cocoa powder, is a mixture of different fatty acids, and essentially they're good for us. Part of them is a saturated fat, but it's a saturated fat that our body converts into a monounsaturated fat. So it doesn't have the same negative effects of other forms of saturated fat. And saturated fats too, and the right sort of fats, are actually good for us. They help strengthen our cell membranes and so forth. So we ideally don't want a totally fat-free diet. A little bit of fat is good. And the fat in cocoa is a good type of fat. Now, a lot of chocolates that are made and they're called compound chocolate. They're made by using other vegetable fats and sometimes hardened fats. So they are definitely the ones to avoid because they've got the wrong sort of fat. Now, in the high quality chocolates, where they're just the cocoa butter and the cacao and some sugar, a small amount of sugar, you know, that's fine. But most of the, when we're talking about 85% or, you know, 70% plus cocoa chocolates, that's very high. When we consider that, according to the food regulations, I think to label it dark chocolate, it only has to be above about 40% cacao. So it's a lot lower, and yet people say, oh, it's dark chocolate, must be good for us, but really it's only got about half the cocoa polyphenols that you are getting the benefit from. So it's actually much lower. If we go to a milk chocolate, that might be typically only about 10%
of
cocoa. So it's quite low. And then, of course, you've got the milk powder as well. And it's quite fascinating with, for example, dairy. A lot of people have thought that, you know, the fat in dairy is the bad one, particularly for atherosclerosis. But it's interesting, the research shows that the type of protein, the type of casein that is in our common milk varieties that we use now, the A1 beta casein, is actually quite highly atherogenic, whereas the B2, A2 beta casein, which you get in the A2 milk or in goat milk or in the old Jersey cow milk, that's not atherogenic to anywhere near the same extent. So the milk powder, of course, that you're going to find in most chocolate is going to be the typical A1 milk powder.
Wow.
So a lot of little subtleties like this, and I find it quite fascinating, you know, like the Bible talks about how goat milk is health for your maidens and this sort of thing. And, of course, the use today of the A1 milk as a result of intensive breeding of the Friesian cows and so forth, yeah.
That's very fascinating. Look, but look, the book is really about a sustainable way towards weight loss. And I'm looking at the table of contents here, and it's saying, like, you know, why it can be hard to lose weight, how can we train our body to burn fat, weight control is about balance, and so on. So it looks a very down-to-earth approach to losing weight, particularly now that we're living in an age where the GLP-1 drugs are so popular, but then there's also all kinds of health risks associated with them. I'm interested in asking about this chapter about how can we train our body to burn fat. What is that entails?
Right, so this is where people have talked to me and said, look, you know, I do all this exercise, but I'm not losing weight. And I think it's very important to maximize weight benefit. You need to, if you're doing exercise, do exercise for more than 40 minutes. And the reason is that if you do exercise less than that, you're just going to burn energy stored as blood sugar in your system.
Mm.
But if you can do exercise for a longer period, right, more than the 40 minutes, then your body will switch over and start burning the fat. And so if you're doing exercise, you know, for a short period and then you eat, you've just replenished your blood supply. You're not getting anywhere. And that's why often you see most cyclists are quite thin people. And that's why, because most cyclists just don't go out and, you know, ride for half an hour. They ride for several hours.
Mm-hmm.
They do it for a long period of time. And so that's the secret there. It's sort of, and I use an analogy in the book there, that if you're driving in a car and you've got your fuel tank and you've got a jerry can of extra fuel in the back, right, which is adding weight to your car. And you drive along and you use two-thirds of the tank of petrol and then you fill up again, right, you've still got the same weight in the car because you've still got your jerry can. But if you drive to the point where you've used up all your fuel and, oh, the gauge is near on empty, I've got to tip the fuel out of the jerry can in, and you use that, the car's now lighter because you've used that, right?
You
burn that up. And so over accumulated time, and that's why, for example, I do my, when I used to run and jog, not so much now, but I still do my walk jog, to do it before breakfast and to make sure you're doing it for that longer period of time. Try to do an hour or so if you can fit it in, and it doesn't have to be. You might do a 40-minute run and then, say, 20 minutes of sort of weight-bearing exercise, this sort of thing. Or do gardening. You know, it doesn't have to be some other thing. Mm-hmm. Get up in the morning, get out, do your gardening. Take the bins out, whatever it is. Do quite a bit of exercise before, if you can, before you have breakfast. Because, again, that will give you a shorter time. You've been fasting overnight. A shorter time, your body will switch to fat burning.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm. There's some fascinating information, Dr. John. And look, I'm wondering, is that book of yours available? Can people still find it online if they're interested in...
Oh, yes, it's still in print, available like Amazon.com or any bookseller can get it in. The co-author, Lily Stojanowska, is a world authority on women's health. And also we had a PhD student who was a brilliant dietitian, she actually worked out a meal planner. So in the back of the book, there's actually a meal planner where you can go through and work out a whole series of meals, all different types, both vegetarian, non-vegetarian meals, to take you through a weight loss program. There's also a section on weight loss for children, what to do if your child is putting on weight, wow, and how to deal with separate issues with children's weight loss.